Hi, I'm Guy, and this week I'm back on the Guinness.
I'm Alex, and I'm drinking an Uprising Caught by the Fuzz Peach Pale Ale.
It's almost time at the bar.
My beer just exploded in my face.
Don't take a swig when we're doing the intro.
And this is the Last Call podcast. Before we get started, we wanted to take a moment to acknowledge what's happening in the world around us and to voice our support for the Black Lives Matter campaign.
Now more than ever, we need sustainable transformation in our communities. We can start to do that by supporting the movement, educating ourselves, and being a part of this change.
If you want to do more, and you should want to, you can learn more and donate at blacklivesmatter.com. In the meantime, we've got a cracking podcast for you this week. As usual, we will be talking anything and everything, both pub-related and otherwise, in the signature fashion of people who have just got to the last drink of the night. And to start us off, I've been learning the harmonica.
Oh, no.
Yes.
That's the lockdown hobby you could have taken up. You could have done anything. You could have taken up running. You could have become a better artist, more cultured.
What's more cultured than the harmonica?
It's just the,
I brought it to the recording.
The problem with the harmonica is brilliant, but the problem is it's when you're in the early stages. Please don't. When you're in the early stages, it's really bad. But once you master it, it's amazing. So when you're learning the harmonica, keep it to yourself, and then once you've mastered it, bring it out to the world. Was that something? Did you actually just play something?
I'm trying to play Piano Man by Billy Joel.
Really? It's there. There's hints of it.
That was spot on.
No, it wasn't. it wasn't spot on, but there were hints of it. Don't do any more.
So I found this. I found this harmonica. I think it was a prize, or maybe a gift, or it feels like a lucky dip prize or something. And it sat in a drawer for a long, long time. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to bust that out and entertain some people.
Your next job is to do a Tales from Behind the Bar theme.
Oh, man, I guess I can work on it. It is annoying. I'm going to put it away for the rest of the podcast, because the other thing about a harmonica is, whether you know how to play it or not, when you have it in your hand, the urge to play it is genuinely irresistible. I'm holding it now, and all I want to do is just... let me put that out of reach somewhere. Have you been learning any new skills in lockdown?
No, not really. I can't say I have. I'm reading a lot more.
Fucking hell.
Oh, that's quick for us. Usually we spill our drinks well within the podcast.
No, fucking hell. It's lovely. This beer's lovely, but it is lively.
New skills. No, nothing. Reading a bit more.
Well, good chat.
Yeah, great. I've got something for you, actually.
Go on.
This was a present that our dad got for you, but obviously you're in a different part of the country, so I'm going to have it. I'm going to throw...
What the fuck is... Hang on. Wait. Do I know about this?
No, of course you don't.
Dad got me a present, and you're going to have it.
You'll see. So I'm going to throw it back a good few episodes. To bar snacks. And a common theme in our podcast.
Scotch eggs. Scotch eggs. Did he get you a big badass Scotch egg? Look at the fucking size of it. Is that a Mayhew?
Look at it. Yeah, it's a fucking massive. It's a Mayhew Scotch egg.
Why would he buy that for me?
Because you always mention them.
Yeah, but how is he going to transport that across the country?
He wasn't. I'm going to eat it.
So it was never for me?
Well... I think no.
Good?
Very good.
You got a little bit of mayonnaise?
I got ketchup. I don't like mayonnaise on Scotch eggs. But what do you do when they're this size? Do you...
You know me. You know exactly what I do.
No, but do you try and eat it with... Because I always take the boiled egg out and just eat the egg and then have the meat.
No. I open my mouth as wide as I can get it and I start chomping. Try and eat that like an orb.
Mm. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I'm very, very jealous. The whole flat here in Bath smells like cookies and brownies.
Ooh, what have you been doing?
It's been a baking extravaganza. So my girlfriend's made brownies, which are delicious. And I believe cookies are also cooling as we speak.
What flavor?
Chocolate to both.
But like the chocolate cookie or
the cookie
with chip?
I understand the question. I see how that was confusing. I'll verify. The cookies are chocolate.
It's really hard to do a podcast and eat.
You just have a whole mouthful of Scotch egg. That's why there was an episode, I think it was a couple of episodes ago, I was eating peanuts through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how close I was sitting to the microphone. So I then had to go through and try and reduce the amount of chewing in the background, which I'm sure I'm going to have to do with your fucking Scotch, just slamming a whole Scotch egg in your mouth.
Yeah. So, back to baking. That's cool. That's something I haven't got into since being in lockdown, but that has been the big thing, hasn't it? To bake.
Yeah, definitely worth doing.
Which, my logic is we're going to have some very good talent when Great British Bake Off returns. Do you watch that?
I've seen bits, mostly of the celebrity ones. I never got it. I never got the hype. I do enjoy it very much, but...
Bro.
Not that much.
So good.
It's all right. I like baking.
But do you like Great British Baking?
It's all right. Also, Paul Hollywood's a bit of a knob, isn't he?
I mean, I don't want to say it, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything that might get us in trouble on the podcast, but that guy will, he will be in the news at some point for something shady.
You think?
Yes, definitely. He's so fucking weird with everybody.
I think he's all a front.
I think he's weird. I think he really believes his handshakes are some special fucking thing. That's my least favorite part of Great British Bake Off is when he puts his hand, they do a good job and Paul Hollywood puts his fucking hand out like,
yeah, it's a big deal.
You get to shake my hand. And he's got that look on his face like, what a big fucking deal this is for you. I'd be like, ah, fuck off, Paul. Fuck off. How about you take that hand and go fuck yourself? How about that? Just say the baking was good. You're a judge. I'm not here for your handshake. I'm here for the apron at the end.
That's how you know you've done well. Because you've got a handshake. Well,
some fat, middle-aged, ruddy-faced douchebag is going to give me a handshake. And I'll be like, I did really well.
He's very good at what he does.
That very well may be.
Imagine if... Who's like the Paul Hollywood of the pub scene?
John Taffer? I don't know.
John Taffer, the American from Bar Rescue.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's... Paul Hollywood is not the guy for baking.
Well, who is?
Well, I don't know. It's not him.
For someone that says they weren't into Great British Bake Off, you fucking hate Paul Hollywood.
Yeah, I do. I do hate Paul. I don't hate Paul Hollywood. I just think he needs to pipe down with his fucking handshakes. I don't see this big deal. Oh, no, it's not even, like, by all means, someone's going to done a good job. Shake their hand, I get that, and I get that it's his way of saying, you've done well. But the big kind of, like, tasting their cake, and then he puts his hand out, like, enjoy this moment. You get to grasp my sweaty, old hand.
Cake-covered hand.
If Paul Hollywood turned around to me and was like, hey, that's really good, you did a good job, I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. No handshake required. Instead of this weird... He just makes such a weird thing about it. Like, I have decided to bestow a handshake upon this mortal. He can fuck off. Let's see him fucking bake something.
I think he can. I think that's how he got the job on the thing.
Let's see it. I demand proof.
Okay.
I can already tell... That you have found a website.
I haven't found a website. I've just Googled him. But I have seen a picture, which I think will do the job. Tell me that isn't a man who bakes.
That is a man posing for a photo shoot, throwing flour above his head.
What am I supposed to do? You wanted a photo of him.
Look at the look at the next one down. Look at the underneath that photo on the top left of the black bit.
Wow.
What a nonce.
What a master.
He's just throwing flour around. I think he's full of shit. He's got a book out called Bread.
I wonder what that's about.
How to make great breads into even greater meals. Oh, fuck
off. Oh, he's got one called Pies and Puds.
Paul, seriously, fuck off, mate. Just fuck off.
Isn't it weird how you hate Paul Hollywood and our dad hates Mary Berry? Because should we tell this story? It's a great story.
Oh yeah, go on then. Go on then. Treat our listeners to this.
So our dad, absolutely fucking hell, man. What are you doing with that beer? Every time you take a swig.
This is the most volatile beer I have ever drunk in my life. It's peach. It's peach pale ale. But I swear, yeah, literally, every time I take a swig, it just tries to get out my nose.
Well.
Oh my God. Right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, our dad absolutely fucking hates Mary Berry. Mm. And you're probably all thinking, how can you hate Mary Berry? She's just a sweet old lady. Apparently not so sweet. So, years and years ago, our dad worked, and I think he was the manager of a WH Smith. And Mary Berry just had a book out, a recipe book. And they put it everywhere. It wasn't selling very well. So they were like, well, it's not fucking selling very well. So we'll stick it in the corner. Mary Berry comes into the shop one day. And she's like, what the fuck? Why isn't my book plastered absolutely everywhere? Our dad was like, well, it's not doing very well. So we've had to make room for something that's selling a little bit better. And it just kicked off. And apparently she was a massive cow.
I believe it. You look at her, you can tell that woman's a bitch.
You can tell if she was a fairy tale character, she's the witch that bakes Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, yeah, she's pure evil. Look at her.
Mm. Yeah. She supports Bath Rugby. I think she lives in Bath, actually.
You know what? I think she turned our Christmas lights on one year.
She was born in Bath, yeah.
I don't see her wandering around.
You don't Anyone's see her coming wondering. Into your pub anytime soon?
No. Or Paul Hollywood. Thankfully.
God.
There's a skeleton in that man's closet. There is.
I don't think so. I think it's all a front.
No,
I think the silver hair, the bad boy demeanor, I ride motorbikes,
bad
wear
boy.
Leather,
no,
leather
I'm sorry.
Jackets. It's all a front. How can
Check
you,
his internet how, history. How Check his internet history.
Wear leather jackets, ride motorbikes, but bake bread.
There is a text message chain somewhere.
There are only two guys that have ever been able to cook and ride motorbikes, and that's the Hairy Bikers. What a couple of legends.
They're all right. All right, let's run through some celebrity chefs and we'll rate them. I'll get some up. You can just go ahead and sling out what you think of them.
All right, easy.
I'll start with a personal favorite. Gordon Ramsay.
I think he's 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Nothing but respect for Ramsay. I think he's fantastic. Jamie Oliver.
Oh, piece of shit. One.
Annoying as fuck. Marco Pierre White.
Oh, what a legend. 10 out of 10.
He is. Shame about his son. I know his son very well because he comes into my pub to shoot heroin in the toilets. I'm not even joking. If you didn't know, look this up. Marco Pierre White Jr.
Can we... Whoa, hold on. Are we going to be able to put that in or are we going to get a lawsuit?
Well, Marco Pierre White Jr. is a heroin junkie who comes into my pub and tries to take heroin in the toilets.
Is that common knowledge?
Is that what you're concerned about?
Is that public knowledge?
Yeah, must be. If it's not, it should be. Everyone in Bath is aware of him.
I just don't want us to get...
I am Googling Marco Pierre White Jr. heroin.
And then are you going to get in trouble for letting him do it?
I don't let him do it. I kick him out.
Hmm.
Oh, no, it's all over here. He was charged with possessing heroin in London in 2019. It's all over the web.
Okay, as long as it's public knowledge.
It's public knowledge, yeah.
All right, cool. All right, hit us with the next one.
Nigella Lawson.
It's hard. I haven't really watched any of her stuff. Nigella was quite big when I was young, when we were young. She always did. My only memory of Nigella Lawson is her cooking show, and then for some reason one of the things she cook is she come down in like a
she
silk...
came down in the middle of the night, yeah, yeah, to like make a midnight snack
in a silk negligee, and it was like, oh, I'm hungry, time to make a snack.
And then I'm gonna make myself a nice quick easy poached duck souffle,
yeah, a foie gras. Yeah. So that's mine.
Yeah, she was incredibly sexualized for a cookery show. Let's have a look. Rick Stein.
Don't really know him. Do you know about Cornwall and how much they fucking hate Rick Stein?
They don't like Rick Stein in Cornwall, did you say?
Yeah. Apparently, you know Cornwall want to be independent.
What?
You don't know this? What are they called?
Oh, fuck off.
That's it. The Cornish Nationalist Party. They want to be independent. And they've got, their flag is the English flag, but instead of white and red, it's black and white. Apparently, it's not. They don't do it anymore, but it's still around, for sure. And they all hate Rick Stein. He's got restaurants down there. There's a girl in my law class, fucking hates Rick Stein. She's from Cornwall. Like, seriously, you mention Rick Stein's name, she gets enraged.
What has this got to do with them wanting independence?
I don't know. Apparently, he moved a bunch of restaurants in there. They were like, what the fuck are you doing, Rick Stein? We don't want your fucking restaurants, you prick. And we want to be independent. So get us out of England and get Rick Stein's restaurants out of here.
Well, I've looked it up and it says here that they call themselves the Cornish Union for Nationalist Thinking.
Cornish Union Nationalist Thinking, C-U-N-T. Oh, I see what you've done.
Ah, did a clever joke.
Clever.
Did a clever joke.
You did a thing. I've got some news.
Go ahead.
I'm off to Australia in May.
Ooh, May?
May 2021.
Ah, right. I was going to say, you've missed it, but yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I'm nice. What are you going over for?
For a wedding.
Ooh, very nice.
Yes, Elise and I are off for a... fuck's sake, every time.
This beer is nuts.
Jesus. And it's all...
Am I drinking it wrong?
Maybe
every time I take a swig of this beer.
Maybe you should drink it through a straw or something.
So fucking fizzy.
Every time I'm trying to say something as well.
Sorry, go ahead. You're off to a wedding.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole story, but yeah.
Ah.
We're off for a few weeks for a wedding, which would be very nice.
Yeah, very nice indeed.
Tales from behind the bar.
Are you subtly hinting that we should get on with some tales from behind the bar?
I think we should. It's one of my favourite times of the week. Hearing other people's stories, it's just fun.
I also have a feeling that it's the only thing that people who listen to our show stay for. They sit through all the stuff at the beginning so they can get to this. All right, do you want to give a little lead in and I'll play the intro?
Well.
I can already tell asking you to do this is a bad idea.
Hold on.
Oh my God.
Well, if your dog's really happy, it's wagging its tail.
Tails. Was that the lead in?
That was the lead in. That was the segue. Wow. What? Nice segue.
We weren't talking about dogs.
Do you remember whose line is it anyway? Tapioca.
Okay.
What comes to mind when I say Ricky Ricardo and good cigars? Ah, tapioca.
Oh, God. Right. Give me another lead in. Maybe better. And I'll play the intro. I've got it queued up and ready to go here.
One of your favorite Christmas songs is Fairy Tale of New York. Fairy Tale. Tale.
What are you doing? Do you know what a segue is?
I just thought it had to rhyme.
No! Also, my favourite Christmas song is Driving Home for Christmas.
Oh,
Chris Rea.
I couldn't agree more.
That is the best Christmas song ever written. Alright! We've got a few, not many, but a few. I'll start us off with one from Anonymous.
Oh no, not those guys.
He says, we had a pack of hens come in the bar and try to order everything we specifically don't stock because we tried to keep the frat guys and sorority girls out.
Well, you're missing, already you're missing a huge market.
He says, flavoured vodkas, Jägermeister energy drink, pitchers of beer.
They don't do Jägermeister or pitchers of beer. How does this bar make any money?
Hey, I've worked places that don't do Jägermeister or specifically don't carry Red Bull so people can't have Jäger bombs and things like that.
Yeesh.
Maybe they're a more high-end place. Anyway, they finally settle on Long Island iced teas. So they don't do Jaeger, and they don't do flavoured shots, because they don't want anyone getting fucked up, but they serve Long Island iced teas. Anyway, the bartender eventually cuts them off because they're wooing so loudly it's driving out everyone except the sex offenders here. I think he's making a joke. I hope he's making a joke. He continues, Becky flips out.
That's so Becky.
And that's classic Becky, and demands another Long Island iced tea. She's so drunk, she doesn't notice the bartender fill up a glass out of the rinse compartment in the sink, squirt a little Coke on top, and charge her £9 for it. She pays, downs the sink water, and leaves.
I think that's dog by the bartenders.
Look, I'd love to pretend that that kind of thing doesn't happen. But if you're going to be like that, the rule should be once you're cut off, you just leave.
Agreed. But they got cut off for wooing.
It says wooing so loud it drove everyone out.
But they're a
I'd
hen,
say that's fair.
But they're a hen night.
So I've kicked hen nights out.
Yeah. I'm not saying hen nights should get special treatment, but
no.
I mean wooing.
If they're making so much noise that other business is walking out the door, I'd go over and be like, hey, you clearly can't shut the fuck up. You all need to go because
but
I'm
now they've
losing
lost
money.
More business.
Yeah, but you'll get more money out of six tables of two over the course of 3 hours than you will out one hen party.
All right.
Hen parties don't spend that as much money as people seem to think.
Oh, really?
I've always found that they are looking for the cheapest possible shots, the dirtiest possible drinks, the easiest possible deals.
Okay.
Their hen parties are a fucking plague. I don't know who, but someone has manufactured a game of dare cards for hen parties. It's sold along with, the L plates and the fucking inflatable dicks and all that.
I don't get why they give them L plates.
No, neither do I. I don't get why they do fucking any of it.
The same could be said for men.
The dick straws. Don't get me wrong. Stag dudes are also complete arseholes. Lucky in Bath, I guess, that we're more of a hen party city. We don't see many stag dudes because Bath has lots of good restaurants, good shopping. It's got a spa. We do tend to find that hen weekends come down here. But yeah, these dare cards have been manufactured for hen parties, and they have dares like go behind the bar and pour a pint and shit like that. Whoever manufactured these dare cards, know this. If I find you, I will have a strong conversation with you. No, it's fucking ridiculous. There's loads of them like this, and it's shit like get the bartender to give you his shirt and stuff like that. What is wrong with you? Go and sit and have a fucking drink and have a good time like everyone else. It's my favorite thing. Oh, did we get a free shot for the bride? No, you don't get a free shot for the bride. The bride can go fuck herself. Check your privilege.
Thank God we've never... You can't say that. Thank God we've never named your pub in any of these podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, deliberately so. Yeah. I'm dead serious. And we get the same thing as anyone who thinks they deserve a free shot because it's your birthday. If it happens, it'll happen. I've given free shots to people because they've been nice and they've been chatting and they've been like, oh, by the way, it's my birthday. We're out having a good time. But if you ask for it, the answer's a stone cold no.
Do you think that's the general census in most pubs?
I don't know. Some places will have something in place where it's like, oh, if it's a birthday, give them a shot of the cheapest, whatever. But I think most places, if you're a nice person and it comes up naturally, it's your birthday and you've been polite, then yeah, of course, the bartender will feel inclined to give you a free shot. Yeah. When you come up to the bar and you're like, it's my birthday, can I have a free shot? No. No, you may not. It's someone's birthday every day. If we did free shots on everybody's birthday, we wouldn't make any money. Oh.
Fair point. I think we need to move on to the next story because you're getting...
This beer makes me quite fighty, I've found.
Yeah, wow. Really brings something out of you.
All right. I got another one here. It's one sentence.
Oh, yeah.
It comes in from Fick.
F-I-C-K.
Fick.
Fick, baby.
Yeah, not sure. It says, second night working at my university bar, some girl pooped on the floor, picked it up, and threw it at the ceiling.
Let's analyze this for a second.
All right.
She pooped on the floor.
Correct.
How do we feel about this?
How do you... What are you looking for here? Confused? Disgusted? I definitely don't have any positive emotions about it.
Well... What about respect?
You want to elaborate a bit more on that?
No, because my next question is...
No, I do not.
Did it stick to the ceiling?
I don't have that information. Because all it says is that it was thrown at the ceiling.
If it did, I've got nothing but respect. You've shat on the floor and you're like, I don't know what to do with this now. I would never have thought of that. I would have tried to dispose it in a bin, chuck it outside. I would never have thought to throw it in the ceiling. That's genius.
I can't think of any consistency of human shit that would stick to the ceiling. I can only see it exploding.
No, I reckon you get a log to stick.
You reckon a log of human shit would stick to the ceiling?
I reckon if it's a well... pushed out turd, I reckon you can get it to stick to the ceiling. You don't
by throwing it.
You don't think, yeah. You don't think shit is like soft. It doesn't feel like leather. It's sticky.
What are you talking about? It's not. Yeah, it is sticky, but it's not stick to the ceiling sticky.
We don't know how high the ceiling was.
Average.
Average ceiling height. No, I. I reckon you could do it. I also want to know how she managed to take a shit on the floor and no one noticed.
Well, obviously, evidently somebody did notice.
But did they only notice when
because
they saw it on the ceiling?
In which case, it wasn't genius at all because she could have gotten away with it if she hadn't thrown it at the ceiling.
Well,
I don't know. Fick, if you are listening, please get in touch and let us know whether it's stuck to the ceiling. Because a guy's quite
might still be there. People come in and go, what's that? And it's like,
how sticky do you think shit is?
My problem is I've never touched shit. I've never touched human shit. So I don't know what the consistency. I've looked at it. And looking at it, I would say it's sticky. I'd say it could stick on the ceiling. Not for long. Mm-hmm. I reckon it would come off.
I think immediately.
I reckon initially
you just explode everywhere.
No, yeah. Do you know what it is? It's you chuck it at the wall, and it's one of those things that like goes boop, 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 boop down the wall.
You're taking some next level shit. You know, like evolved turds. Right, let's have a look. I've got another one here from Stufor. He says, I'm not a bartender.
Okay.
But I did once work at a Renaissance festival.
Oh, yes.
And once I had to cut off and rescue a Viking.
Amazing.
The Viking in question had lost his husband and stumbled up to the beer hut I was sitting at. He was really confused, almost throwing up. He had his drinking horn in his hand.
Good.
And I watched him look at it, look around, look back at it. And then he slurred, fuck it. I sidled up to him and started talking to him, sat him down and started... Go on.
Can you say that fuck it in a more Viking kind of way?
Yeah, I can. I watched him look at it, look around, look back, and then he slurred, fuck it!
Yes, perfect.
I sidled up to him and just started talking to him, sat him down and pumped him full of water until his husband found us. They were so damned relieved to have found each other.
Oh, that's good. That's a good story.
Yeah, and a nice little ending as well.
Beautiful little things happened at Renaissance fairs.
We don't get a lot of stories like that anymore.
Would you ever go to a Renaissance fair?
Yeah, I could be tempted.
Dressed up?
Ah, no, this is... Here you go. This
you can't,
is the problem.
You can't go unless you dress up. I think it's like minimum requirement.
What would you go as?
Some kind of knight. I'm not going to be a peasant, am I? I'd be a knight, some kind of nobleman. King, maybe. I'd say I'd probably be up there.
I'd go for some kind of maverick.
Right.
I'd go for like a thief or something like that.
Ooh, an outlaw.
Yeah.
That's kind of dope.
Do you have to stay? You don't have to stay in character of those things, do you?
I don't know. I don't know if there's like, if you there's like a neutral area, and then once you sort of enter the village, you have to be in character.
Be there like, sorry, I'm looking for a first aid point.
And they're like,
Avast!
I don't understand.
I have never heard of this word. No, seriously, I've really badly cut myself. I need a first aid tent. Is there a first aid or an ambulance? He's speaking in tongues! Sir, I'm serious.
I think you mean a plague doctor. Yes, okay, whatever.
Get the ambulance. They've got the big old-fashioned doctor mask with the big nose.
You got a little cut on your knee and they just take out a hacksaw. You're like, oh my God, this is too real.
Yeah, I'd absolutely go to a Renaissance fair the more I think about it. I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of like pulled pork.
Ooh, yeah, a lot of hog roasts.
And mead. You ever had mead?
No, I've never had mead.
It's good.
When have you had mead?
I know a guy who makes his own mead.
Of course. All right.
His name's Nancy. No, I'm not even joking. Right. Anyway, I've got a last tale here. Comes from Chippy. He says, I once saw a guy chop his fingers off in the toilet door.
Jesus Christ! Holy shit! Holy shit, Chippy!
He says, it was horrific. Yeah.
Yeah, I should fucking think so.
Says he was drunk, stumbled into the toilets, put his fingers on the edge of the toilet door to steady himself, tripped, and fell full force onto the door.
Oh.
trapping his fingers between the door and the frame. The door closed completely shut.
What is this door made of? Lead?
One finger came off completely. The other was hanging on by a flap of skin.
Oh my God. The worst thing I've ever heard. Oh my God.
Chippy says they called an ambulance, had to wait with him until they got there, but he was so wasted he had no idea what had happened.
Oh, that's
virtually comatose.
That's quite relieving, actually.
Fuck waking up in the hospital and being like, what happened? And having to have someone go, well, you were holding a door, you fell against it, and you chopped two of your fingers off.
Yeah, and he's just like, what happened? Just looking at his two fingers that aren't there anymore. Did you hear about that actor that was in a coma? And I think something happened to his leg. His leg got infected or something. And they had to cut it off. And then he's just recently woken up. They had to amputate.
No, but I bet
he was in a coma.
Fuming.
Well, what else were they meant to do?
Oh, yeah, but you'd still be pissed.
Oh, yeah, you'd be a bit miffed, but...
You'd be like, no... Nobody asked me. I came to the hospital because I needed help.
It's just a doctor going, say nothing if you don't want to. Be asleep for 2 days if you want us to have to take your leg. Oh, he wants it. It's just a doctor putting a pen in his hand and just
signing all the forms.
Moving his arm.
You'd be so angry. You'd be like, I came to you because I needed help. You put me to sleep and took my leg.
Doctor's there just like, hey man, I don't even work here. Just take off the patch and walks out. Oh, man. Well, that was a good story, Chippy. Horrendous. I wonder if they reattached his fingers.
I don't know if they reattached his fingers. It doesn't say. I don't know. Maybe. One's hanging on by a flap.
They might be able to get that one back on. It's all about getting it on ice really quickly, isn't it?
So I've heard.
Yeah. I reckon the one by a flap, because you've still got nerve endings there.
Well, that just about does it for Tales from Behind the Bar.
Good stories.
What are we rounding off with this week?
Oh, I've got a story, actually.
You've got a story?
Yeah.
Go on, then.
So it's a continuation of a story I told where a couple of friends of mine, Sam and Harvey, we were all out on the town living it up. Mm-hmm. And we come out of the club and Harvey really fancied some chicken. So he went and got this huge thing of chicken, like the biggest thing of chicken you've ever seen. And we're walking to the bus stop, and I don't know what had got into Sam, right? But out of nowhere, he just starts kicking the bag of chicken.
What?
Yeah. Something just got into, he was wound up about something. I mean, I know what it was, but I don't think I can say on the podcast because I don't want to do that to him. But he was wound up, and he started kicking the chicken. And we were excited to have, Harvey and I were really excited to have this chicken. When we got home, it was like a whole thing of chicken. There was hot wings in there, legs.
Yeah, breasts. It's a full bag of chicken.
Whole shebang. It was a whole bag. There was chips in there. It was amazing. He starts kicking the bag.
Why?
What do you think that was about? What would you do in that situation?
If someone's kicking my chicken.
Yeah.
Someone's kicking my bag of chicken.
Yeah.
I would be smacking him with that entire bag of chicken. That I would make sure the bag of chicken had a chance to fight back. I'd hold the top of the bag and I'd smack it with chicken flying everywhere. I'd smack him with it until the bag had disintegrated and it was just my fist. Don't kick another man's bag of chicken.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, smack it with the chicken. The chicken's already horrible. Pretty good, as good as lost.
Yeah. I was confused. It was so late at night. I was so drunk. Don't know what happened to him. I don't know what was going on. I was confused. I was scared. I was genuinely fearing for my life, as well as Harvey's and the chicken.
I just don't understand. I tell you what I've been doing.
Go on.
To pass the time, I've been watching 70s and 80s B-movie horror films.
B-movie horror films.
Well, so, not all B-movies, but I've been watching getting through quite a lot of the horror genre.
Right. B-movie doesn't actually mean B-movie with Barry B. Benson.
Not the Jerry Seinfeld movie. B-movie.
Right. I thought you said B-movie horror. I thought you were watching someone had taken B-movie and turned it into a horror.
I feel like you're deliberately, you have to be deliberately misunderstanding me.
When you say B movie, I immediately think of B movie, which I think is fair.
All right, fine. I'll accept that. No, that's not what I was talking about. I have a recommendation for you.
Okay.
It is called Night of the Comet.
Ooh.
Already sounds good, right?
Sounds terrible.
It's actually excellent. I will read you the synopsis. So this is the synopsis for the 1984 sci-fi horror B-movie flick, Night of the Comet. It says, after a rare comet sighting, teen sisters Regina and Samantha find that they're among the only survivors of a zombie attack. The girls partner with another survivor, Hector, but as they try to avoid the zombies, they're sought by scientists who want to experiment on their bodies in the hope of finding an antidote. Dodging both the doctors and the undead, they keep moving in the hope they can continue to stay alive.
That sounds awful.
It's fucking brilliant.
What's the comet got to do with anything?
Right.
They see a comet, and then suddenly there's a zombie
right.
Uprising. Yeah, go on.
Here's the thing. The comet appears,
right?
Everybody who wasn't protected somehow is vaporized. They're gone. They die.
Right. Sounds like they dodge a bullet if there's in a zombie uprising.
Ah, wow. Now, hang on. Anyone who was kind of protected, the symptoms are slower. They don't vaporize instantly. They become zombies. But these zombies can talk and walk. They're like zombied out people. Anyone who is fully protected survives. These handful survives. What's so not to understand?
A comet appears, flies over.
Well, they knew it was coming. And it was a big deal. Like, people went out in the streets to see it. Like an eclipse. But there's an eclipse, everyone wants to go see it. It's like that, but with a
comet. Why are they trying to find a cure when it was the comet? The comet gave them an illness.
Mm.
This sounds shit.
But they need the blood of the survivors to make the cure. That's a good question, actually. I'm not quite... It doesn't matter. They need the blood of the survivors to make the cure.
It's right. Do they get a cure? I'm never going to watch it, so you might as well tell me.
I don't want to ruin it for any of our listeners who might watch.
No one's going to watch it.
It's genuinely excellent. It has a fun montage where they go to a shopping mall and it's empty and they try on lots of clothes.
Great. And they're called Regina and Samantha. That's amazing because no sisters in any 80s movie are called Regina and Samantha. That never happened. Oh no, wait, they're all called that.
I'm not sure they're all called that.
They are all called that. Every woman in an 80s movie was either called Regina or Samantha, especially if they were high school bullies.
Yeah, you might be saying that this is unoriginal, but let me tell you, does every 80s movie have a montage where the two main characters try on different clothes in a shopping mall set to Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper?
Interestingly, I don't think there's any 80s movie that does that.
I think they might
be the only film. Does Hector sacrifice himself?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, egg on my face, I guess.
I have you know Hector is fine.
Well, let me tell you something that you need to watch.
Go on then.
You go on YouTube and you need to watch. I can only assume it was a TV series. I don't know if it ever actually aired. But it's currently, every episode's on YouTube. It's called Holy Moly, and it's a genuine miniature golf competition. If you need a sporting fix, you need to watch it. It is fucking excellent.
So you're giving me shit about Night of the Comet.
No, you're watching people
play mini golf.
No, Night of the Comet sounds awful. This is genuinely hilarious. This is the best thing ever. It's something you need to get into. It is so funny.
Competitive mini golf.
Competitive mini golf.
That sounds terrible.
Please watch it.
Bear with me 1 second. I'm just going to open another one of these explosive beers. Everybody just stand well back.
Fucking hell. Again. What's this beer called? Because it's honestly a lawsuit waiting to happen.
This beer is called Caught by the Fuzz. It's from Uprising Brewery. It's called It's Peachy Pale Ale. It's very nice. It's like peach. Tastes like peach. You follow?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know the fruit, peach.
What is this? What are you doing?
Nothing. It's the fruit flavored, but specifically
peach.
Peach. Yeah, okay, you get it. You're with me.
Are you going to watch this miniature golf competition on YouTube?
Are you going to watch Night of the Comet?
I will watch Night of the Comet if you watch the miniature golf competition on YouTube.
That's a deal.
Okay.
That's a deal. You watch Night of the Comet, I'll watch Holy Moly.
What is Night of the Comet on? Sky?
Blu-ray?
So I've got to get the DVD. I'm not doing that.
I've offered you something
to watch for free, and you now saying...
Oh my God, just watch Night of the Comet.
How can I... I'm not buying the DVD for something I don't want to watch.
Hang on.
If it's on any of the streaming services...
I will see where Night of the Comet is available. People will watch it. Because they should. It is, as I've mentioned, excellent. A masterpiece.
Are there any big names in it?
Yeah. Big names. You want big names? Catherine Mary Stewart's in it. Kelly Maroney's in it.
I don't know.
Robert Beltran's in it.
I don't know who that is.
Mary Warrenoff.
They sound like all. They sound like all people that would have been in the OC.
Sharon Farrell, Jeffrey Lewis, Janice Kaway, Devon Erickson.
Wow, these are big names.
Michael Bowen's in it.
Their careers really took off.
Lisa Reynolds is in it. And it was directed by Tom Eberhardt.
Oh, yeah. What else has he done?
Oh, give me 2 seconds and I'll fucking tell you. Thomas Eberhardt did Captain Ron. He did Soul Survivor. He did Rats with a Z. Rats. He's a big name director. Deliberately taking a piss.
Oh.
Hey! You know it's only $11.80 on Amazon for the DVD?
I'm not buying the DVD.
It's $11.80.
I don't care. Mail it to me. Post it.
You're being such a fucking pain in my ass about this. Right, well. I'm not watching any Holy Moly until you've seen Night of the Comet.
Well, you're really missing out because it's absolutely brilliant and it's right down your street.
Well, competitive mini golf. Yeah. Oh, wow. I'll tell you what it's better than watching.
Don't say it.
You know what I'm going to say?
You're going to say cricket.
Yes, I was going to say cricket.
Oh, man. Maybe we should leave it here before we fall out.
That's true.
You're annoying me now. And you've been watching bad horror movies.
We haven't learned anything. It's not a bad horror movie. It's a good movie.
Sounds
Night of the Comet is a good movie. Well, so does Holy Moly.
Well, you should watch it. Give it a chance.
You should give Night of the Comet a chance.
Nah, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, so does Holy Moly. Well, this is a waste of everyone's time. I think it's best if we just ring the bell. Just ring the bell.
Yep. Fuck it. I don't care anymore.
Well, that's time at the bar.
It's time for us to finish our drinks and head home.
If you'd like to keep up to date with all the nonsense we get up to during the week, follow us on Twitter at lastcall_pod or go to our website, thelastcallpodcast.co.uk.
We should have an Instagram coming soon. Please don't forget to say your drinks back to the bar, and we will see you next week.